On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
never
of God
first stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness.
You're ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free. From every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Glorified
with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
God
never
stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
One. A hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
grains, all bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With a reading of God to stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more
strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Kessler. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. So glad to have you, friend. Hey, folks, I'm privileged to be part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ, because you see, in him I find peace, joy, and happiness. I am blessed beyond measure more than I ever deserve. And my goal here is very simple, folks. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, folks, we've got an interesting topic for this broadcast: God, space, and aliens. That's right. God, space, and aliens. But first, headline news. Get this. A psychiatry professor at Johns Hopkins University says children should not be allowed to medically change their genders because the treatments are similar to a frontal lobotomy. Doctors don't have the evidence that this treatment will be the right one, said Dr. Paul McHugh. Many people are doing what amounts to an experiment on these children without telling them it's an experiment. You need evidence for that, and this is a very serious treatment. It is comparable to doing frontal lobotomies. He said that there could be long-term negative effects. Impacts in using their hormonal treatments used for gender transitions. It's reckless and irresponsible. He believes that children struggling with gender dysphoria are likely dealing with other issues such as mental health, and it's possible for the children who transition early in life may be in the hands of doctors for the rest of their lives. And he warns that many trans-identifying young people may be sterilized and not be able to have their own children, and they will later on regret what is happening now. Can you imagine having a life where you need to seek doctors all the time for everything just to live? Getting your hormones checked, getting everything checked. That is something doctors should like to spare people of. Folks, he is right on the money about this, this doctor. Children should not be allowed to medically change their gender, says John Hopkins professor. Finally, somebody in the medical community that's using common sense, folks. Amen. Now get this, folks. And I'm serious when I tell you this. News story right here. Thanks to a court ruling, a representative of the, get ready folks, make-believe Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster led prayer at a government meeting in Alaska this week. The prayer at the government meeting in Homer, Alaska, allowed or followed by a 2018 decision by an Alaskan state court that ruled the previous policy only permitting individuals from government-approved religious groups was unconstitutional, so they decided to adopt a new policy that allows anyone to sign up to pray. And anyone did sign up to pray. And so on Tuesday, Barrett Fletcher, a pastor of Pastafarianism, also called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, offered a prayer, and he wore a colander on his head. And so he said this in this meeting. So I'm called to invoke the power of the true inebriated creator of the universe, the drunken tolerator of all lesser and more recent gods, and the maintainer of gravity here on earth. May the great flying spaghetti monster rouse himself from his stupor and let his noodly appendages ground each assembly member in their seats. No one stood up for the prayer, and one man turned his back. Other men refused to remove their hats. Fletcher capped his invocation by praying the members will have satisfaction in the perception of accomplishment and allow them true relaxation and an ample supply of their favorite beverage at the end of this evening's work. And he ended it by saying, Raymond, there you go, folks. Pastor of Flying Spaghetti Monster, Pastafarianism, praise at government meeting, thanks to a court ruling. Well, sometimes, folks, some things get completely out of hand. That's just one of them, and that's the headline news for this broadcast. And now, this day in church history. In 1832, on this day, death at Abbotsford of the novelist and poet Sir Walter Scott, who had also written some hymns. Two of the best known were The Day of Wrath, That Dreadful Day, and When Israel the Lord Beloved. In 1935, on this day, death of James M. Gray, who had been a Bible teacher, author, pastor, dean, and president of Moody Bible Institute, and editor of the Schofield Reference Bible and hymn writer. Among his hymns was Nor Silver Nor Gold, and Only a Sinner. And finally, on this day in church history, in 1992, Muslim extremists attacked a Christian radio station in the Philippines, killing Craig Hapala, who was taping a program in the local language, and control operator Greg Bacabas. And that's this day in church history. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment, folks. And here is your clue. And this is about an animal, folks. Get your thinking caps on. Here is the clue. I make the fir trees my house. What animal am I? Here's the clue one more time. I make the fir trees my house. What animal am I? We'll reveal the final answer to this clue following the study segment. Folks, so stay tuned for that exciting reveal in a final segment of Name That Bible Character. Now we have our study for this broadcast called God, Space, and Aliens. Have you often wondered as you looked and peer into the skies or the heavens and all their glory and wondered what was out there? Have you ever noticed those fantastic photos of the universe through the Hubble telescope and just wondered in your mind, is there other life? You know, with the understanding that our Creator, we just can't put Him in a box. And just think how beautiful and wonderful we are made. And just think what God has done here on the planet that we see and experience, the senses and everything that all the beauty and the glory and the intricacies of all that is found here in our system, in our solar system, and you peer into the cosmos, and you begin to wonder, what else is out there? And you know, we have there's been several things going on and talking about unidentified flying objects. Even there was an article in the newspaper talking about the Navy, videos of their jets chasing UFOs, and the government finally had to say that those videos were authentic. And there's always been a question of Area 51. But what does this prove, if anything? And what about the question of God, the cosmos, and intelligent life apart from the life that we understand here on Earth? And does it necessarily have to mean anything? And let me just throw this out. This is just a discussion on my part today. I just wanted to kind of touch base on this touchy subject for some. There are a lot of folks. I remember meeting a beautiful sister, older lady in the church when I first started the evangelistic work. And we were driving from Atlanta to Savannah, Georgia. And we were talking about the NASA space program and landing on the moon. And she was adamant that there was no possible way that we could have ever left the Earth. She believed in that passage in Acts chapter 17 that God has placed boundaries, and that boundary, if you will, prohibits any human being from ever leaving the earth. And so in her mind's eye, there was just no possible way. And then there are other people that we've come across, I have come across, and I'm not disparaging their views or anything at all. That believe that in the flat Earth existence, that the Earth is flat, and that when the Genesis chapter 1, when it talks about the firmament, that is a dome, and that too is part of that process, that procedure, that boundary that we cannot pass. And I don't agree with that. I don't support that, but look, folks, we got a lot of loving Christians who have different views on different things, and we got to appreciate and respect each other on that part. But There are a lot that believe that humans are the only embodied creatures in creation to be made in God's image. And the possibility that both God and E.T. might exist is something that we don't talk about generally. And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that. Do you remember a movie called Signs? It's been 10 years back. It was about a Catholic priest who gained his faith in divine providence. He had lost his faith when his wife had died in an accident. And then in proceeding amid climactic events of his struggle to protect his children from alien invaders who had been navigating by crop circles. And it's a very interesting movie. Shows those dynamics. And but what about the heavens, and what do they declare? What do they say to us? Well, the passage of God's creation in the beginning says the heavens and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, he also made the stars. And later on, and think about this, contemplate this for a moment. God promises Abraham to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Now, sometimes we don't take that for granted, if you will, that promise. But God is promising as numerous as the stars. There are around 100 billion stars in our own galaxy, the Milky Way. And there are about 100 billion galaxies in the known universe. We live on just one planet orbiting one star in just one galaxy. And think about, as you look up into the heavens, and I walked out going to work one day and looked up into the skies and saw the shining fullness of that moon, the full moon, and then the stars surrounding. I had to, just had to take a photo of that. And I'm like David, who would say in Psalms chapter 8, verse 1, "Oh Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." Isn't that something? And verse 4, David says, "What are mere mortals that you are mindful of them?" Think about what David is insinuating here. What are mere mortals, he says, of God, that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? Some atheists would look at the universe and conclude that there is no God and that man has no significance. David, on the other hand, concludes that the universe is God's handiwork and that humanity is crowned with glory and honor. Psalms 19, verse 1 and 4 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Just think about that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Think about that. Think about that beauty of what David is referring to when he looks up into the skies and sees. What do you see when you look up and peer up in there? What have you wondered and pondered about? The belief that humans are significant because God made us in his own image is often, you know, we are often accused of being egotistical in thinking that. But as one man said this, he says, "I wonder who is more egotistic, someone who says that God made them in his own image, or the person who says that people made God in his own image. You know, we claim that God has revealed himself to humanity, especially in Jesus Christ. Now think about what C.S. Lewis wrote. He says it would be a mistake to think that the incarnation implies some particular merit or excellence in humanity. It implies just the reverse, a particular demerit and depravity. No creature that deserved redemption would need to be redeemed. They that are whole need not the physician. Christ died for men precisely because men are not worth dying for, to make them worth it. He said, no reason why the men at earth and the yet smaller human creatures upon it should not be the most important things in the universe that contains the spiral nebula. No reason, that is, if God exists. Just think about what is needed in order for us to exist in this universe, right here on this planet, right now, being in the Milky Way in which we live in. It's called fine tuning that shows that carbon-based life forms couldn't exist in a universe that was any smaller or younger than ours. One example of that states that we currently believe that the universe is around 15 billion years old, give or take a few thousand million years. That length of time is needed for an initial generation of stars to be formed and die, and in that process make some of the heavier elements of which we are composed by nuclear fusion. One man stated like this: the fact that we wouldn't be here if the universe were different doesn't explain why such an unlikely universe should exist in the first place. Suppose you were up for execution by firing squad. The soldiers fire, but they all miss. Would you be surprised? Would your surprise be alleviated if I pointed out that you wouldn't be alive to feel surprised if any of the soldiers had been on target? You might suggest that you were simply the beneficiary of dumb luck. But isn't a more likely explanation that the soldiers missed on purpose? Likewise with the universe. The cosmic fine-tuning could be dumb luck, but it seems more rational to say that it was set up that way on purpose. In which case, the vastness of space shouldn't be discouraging to ourselves. Rather, the opposite would seem that God went to a lot of effort to put us here. Amen. But what about aliens? You ever wondered about that? What about aliens? You know, there are some who think that if aliens did exist, and that somehow would disprove our religion and God. But does it necessarily have to work out that way? I was wondering. And the Bible does not, as one man says, explicitly confirm or deny the existence of intelligent life on other planets. There are a lot of things that the Bible doesn't mention. For example, the Bible doesn't mention the existence of your cell phone, but no one would look at your cell phone and conclude that, based on those grounds, that the Bible has been proved false. Why should there be, in looking at things any differently when you're thinking of alien life? The Bible phrase, the heavens and the earth. Think about that in Genesis chapter 1. Doesn't it mean they're the whole of creation? Psalms chapter 8 recognizes the humbleness of human beings. We are, David says, mere mortals that you are mindful of them. Human beings that you care for him. It affirms, doesn't it, that although humanity is not God's top creation, you made them, David says, a little lower than the angels, nevertheless crowned with glory and honor. As Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, it was for our sake that Christ himself was made a little lower than the angels. And notice this quotation from C.S. Lewis. It is, of course, the essence of Christianity that God loves man and for his sake became man and died. But that does not prove that man is the sole end of nature. In the parable, it was the one lost sheep that the shepherd went in search of. It was not the only sheep in the flock. And we are not told that it was the most valuable, save in so far as the most desperately in need has, while the need lasts, a peculiar value in the eyes of love. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 16, that I have sheep that are not of this sheep pen. And while obviously this means non-Jews, of course, could it possibly also mean non-humans as well? And wouldn't, if that were true, wouldn't it? And should it not mean that they would also need a God, a Son of God? One man, a Christian physicist, Russell Stannard, said it like this: I can't see why the same Son of God who has existed for all time can't take on the form of other creatures once they reach the stage where they can communicate with God. Now, folks, I know that I haven't really gone in depth here and on discussion. I just wanted to touch on the surface of this subject. And, you know, if there were other life, they would have available all the signs and evidence of God's existence that has been available for us. The design and beauty of all creation. As David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. And that would be true no matter where we were in the cosmos. Finally, I would like to end by saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and 22, David says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. As one man said, whether or not the only children of God who will join with the angels when the new creation is born out of the old will be human is, I suspect, one of those questions that will not receive a definitive answer this side of the age to come. In the meantime, folks, we should feel secure and confident in God's love for us, despite our place here in the cosmos, knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us, not because we are the pinnacle of all creation, but because we are fallible. We need a Savior, and to forgive is divine. And that's our study for this broadcast. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here was your clue. I make the fir trees my house. What animal am I? The answer is stork. That's right, folks, stork. Psalms 104, 16 and 17. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. I make the fir trees my house. What animal am I? The stork in Name That Bible Character. Well, folks, you too can become a follower of Jesus Christ, because you see, in him you can find peace, joy, and happiness, and be blessed beyond measure, more than you ever deserve. My goal here has been very simple. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. If you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, stop by and visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. But if you can't, go to our website, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com. Well, friend, I want to tell you this. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast. May God bless you.
Praise God, give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen, amen. Sing glory, hallelujah. Christ the Lord has died for you. Praise God, give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen, amen. Sing glory, hallelujah. Christ the Lord has risen for you.
Praise God,
give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen, amen. Sing glory, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is living for you.
Praise God,
give thanks to the Father in all that you say and do. Well, amen, amen. Sing glory, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is coming for you. Christ the Lord is coming for you. Christ the Lord is coming for you.